Hey everyone, happy Friday. I spent a lot of time this week watching my stock portfolio go up and down because of some crazy American announcements. I hope those of you who own stocks didn't get too obsessed with the red numbers. This week we have a lot of trade-related news, with there being a significant chance that the EU finally goes to buy more European goods, the hunt for new trade deals, as well as hints of a possible Christian revival in Europe in a statistical deep dive. Could Europe finally make its way to a buy European policy? Well, the idea has been around for a long time, but Trump's trade war might actually be pushing Europe over the edge. So what's driving this strategy and what will it mean for Europe's economy? Well, basically, buy European is about governments and companies prioritizing products and services made in Europe. And there are three reasons why European governments and the EU would want to implement this. First, governments want to reclaim control over critical industries like defense, chips, medicines, and reduce reliance on imports. They see these dependencies as not just economic, but as national security. That's why the EU supported industries with billions to increase European production, like the Chips Act, the Clean Industrial Deal for Green Technologies, or InvestAI to mobilize 200 billion euros for AI. But many companies, and especially multinationals, were hesitant. They're generally after the lowest prices, regardless of where the products are made. The second reason is reducing supply chain risks and limiting dependencies on a few countries, like how Europe relies on China for minerals, on Taiwan for chips, or the US for software. But shocks like the pandemic disrupted global supply, caused delays and higher costs. By moving production back to Europe, industries have more control over supply. Countries like Poland, Romania, and Hungary already benefited from companies relocating their production. And the fear of being collateral damage is pushing companies to incorporate geopolitical risk as well. Some European countries have even threatened to target the American software industry with tariffs. All that uncertainty might make some European companies think twice before they sign on with the likes of Google or Amazon, even if their services are actually better. Finally, industries are lobbying to favor European products and services in government contracts worth billions. Last month, 100 European companies and lobby groups called on the EU to introduce buy European requirements to increase investments in microchips and quantum technology. They're urging the EU to build its own digital infrastructure in cloud and AI instead of relying on American big tech. And the EU is responding. In its Clean Industrial Deal, it set made in EU quotas, forcing governments to buy 40% of green technology within the EU. The European Commission announced that by 2026, all strategic sectors will have European preference rules. We already saw this in defense, where a 150 billion euro fund can only be spent on production within the EU and friendly countries. But buy European comes with some trade-offs. The biggest one is higher prices. Building massive digital infrastructure to replace US big tech has come at a price tag of 300 billion euros. For industries that have been outsourced for decades, it's unclear if Europe has enough skilled workers and technology to compete. Finally, the buy European approach could clash with the EU's internal market and could instead lead to a buy German, buy French, or buy Spanish. But for the first time, the stars are aligned for buy European. There's political appetite, industry appetite, and even appetite by European citizens who no longer view the US on such favorable terms. In short, a buy European policy seems closer than ever, with Trump pushing Europe over the edge, though that might come with some trade-offs between security and independence on the one side, and costs on the other. With access to the American market becoming more uncertain, the EU is on the hunt for new trading partners to shift its exports. Commission President von der Leyen said the EU must focus like a laser beam on the 83% of global trade beyond the US. And with exports making up half of the EU's GDP, these stakes are high. So who could Europe trade with? Well, the EU already has 40 trade agreements with about 70 countries and regions. And there's a long list of potential partners. About 20 agreements have been negotiated, like the one with Mercosur, or others being negotiated with the likes of India and Indonesia. But securing these trade agreements isn't straightforward. Negotiating agreements is what the Commission does for member states, and it takes years. In fact, it's been negotiating with Mercosur since 1999, but EU countries refused the agreement in 2019. And that's mainly because EU countries have different interests. Germany's export-focused economy wants more access to markets for its industrial products, but trade deals also give non-EU countries more access to the EU's markets. And they're specifically looking to the EU's agricultural and food markets, which is closed off by tariffs and some of the strictest food regulation in the world. In fact, the tension between industrial Germany, which wants to export manufactured goods, and the French agricultural sector, which wants to protect itself from foreign imports, has been at the heart of Europe's inability to strike trade deals. In the case of the Mercosur agreement, farmers complain that free trade leads to unfair competition, especially since European food regulations are far stricter than other countries. But with Trump's trade war turning up the heat, even France wants more trade deals, calling Trump a wake-up call on trade agreements. Now in our weekly brief, Germany's Christian Democrats and Social Democrats have agreed a coalition deal. Plans include a more strict migration policy, lower taxes, lower energy prices, and a new digital ministry. However, with the SPD as only negotiating partner after Merz refused to work with AfD, Merz significantly watered down his campaign pledges on fiscal discipline, tax breaks, and uncompromising stance on migration. In a not entirely unrelated event, Germany's AfD surpassed the CDU in the polls for the first time. In more trade news, the EU is afraid China will dump goods on its markets after it got cut out of the US market. In a call with China's Prime Minister, Commission President von der Leyen warned that China should avoid that. Meanwhile, China and the EU have opened negotiations to remove tariffs from Chinese EVs. The EU's audit office is asking for clear rules on how the EU funds NGOs. This comes after the European Commission had handed out money to environmental NGOs that then went on to lobby the European Parliament on the European Commission's Green Deal policies. In other words, the EU has been lobbying itself. In migration news, asylum applications to the EU dropped 40% in the first 3 months of this year compared to 2024. For the first time since 2011, Germany didn't get the most applications, and France led with 41,000 applications, followed by Spain's 40,000. In Spain, hundreds of thousands have moved once again to protest against mass tourism. With 94 million tourists in 2024, locals say too many homes are turned into tourist rentals or replaced by resorts, pushing up the cost of living. Over the past 10 years, rents across the country have doubled and house prices have jumped 44%. But with 12% of its economy dependent on tourism, it's uncertain that Spain's authorities will take any action to limit it. That was it for our weekly brief. In our next story, we have some religion news. Could Europe be experiencing a Christian revival? You heard me right, a Christian revival in secular Europe. That's at least what recent data seems to suggest. According to numbers provided by the Bible Society in the UK, church attendance is on the rise. It suggests a 4% jump in church attendance between 2018 and 2024, a jump that was even more impressive among young Britons, with a 12% jump for the 18 to 24 age category. And this revival was not driven by immigrants. It's something that took place with white Britons as well. But it's not just the United Kingdom. France also seems to be having its own small Christian revival, with an impressive growth in adult baptisms, which have tripled over the past couple of years. And for the first time, France's churches have been full for Lent ahead of Easter, surprising even seasoned priests with the devotion of young Catholics who are painting crosses on their heads. One explanation of this is that Christians in France are inspired by social media and mimicking Muslims, whose fasting and visibility during Ramadan offered an interesting point of comparison. But adult baptisms and fuller churches doesn't change the fact that the total number of baptisms in France, the UK, Germany, or Spain have been on the decline for decades, with total baptism having shrunk by a lot over the past decades due to growing lack of religiousness, but also because there are fewer children to be baptized. In fact, Europe is still growing more secular, even if attendance in church is rising. In Germany, there has been a record decline in Catholic church membership, with 500,000 people leaving the church in 2022. This suggests that the drive back to churches is being led by a small, yet increasingly faithful Christian population. While it's undeniable that a small Christian revival is taking place, at least spiritually, it would take a lot more than a couple of thousand adult baptisms every year to make that revival have any weight in the short term. However, in the future, even a small religious Christian population might have a big impact on the demographic trajectory of Europe, since religious people tend to have more children. We'll have to wait and see how this trend develops in the coming years. That was it for this week. If you like this video, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe for the latest updates and analysis on European news. And I'll see you in the next video.